Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Dr. Katie, are you with me? We have Dr. Katie Eastman on the line as well. Hello, hello, my co-hosts. I just love you. Big hug
good
all the way across
morning.
The country.
Yes, I'm here in Washington.
Are you?
It's a good
I'm here in Maine.
Blustery day.
It's pouring. Absolutely pouring buckets here in Maine today. But, you know, I was thinking as we were approaching this call this morning that, you know, if we have any sort of heart problems, we're in good care because we've got Dr. Stephen Sinatra with us. And I know you and I both have, you know, our tickers are working pretty good, but we have a pretty family history of things that don't work so well. I know my husband has a long line of cardiac problems in his family, and my own father is in constant AFib with his heart issues and his strokes and things like that. And I know you. What do you have going on in your family there with heart?
So
not
long
to divulge everybody's
disease.
Family history. Yeah, we have a lot of heart
right.
disease, and it seems
right.
to me like everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who has some type of heart issue going on. And so this is a very important show. It's near and dear to my heart, and I know it's near and dear to yours as well. And Dr. Stephen, I just wanted to – can I just called you Dr. Stephen. I better be more. Not so
– No, that's fine, Catherine.
So,
that's fine.
I call Dr. Katie Dr. Katie. I tend to do that with doctors. I have no idea why. But so we have Dr. Stephen Sinatra with us, and you're a very highly respected and sought after cardiologist, and you have kind of an integrative approach though to treating cardiovascular disease, and you actually treat patients in a different way, and you have more than 30 years of clinical practice, research and study that has earned you the AMA Physicians Recognition Award 3 times, right? 3 times, or are you more than that now? That's quite a bit.
About three times.
Three
is correct,
times.
Yeah.
Great. Congratulations on that. And you are joining the Healthy Directions family of experts. You joined them in 1995, and you're an advisor for their research and development and so forth. So I really wanted to welcome you to the show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. What should we talk about first? I really, you know, you're the expert, and I thought maybe you could lead us in the path first.
Sure. You know, you mentioned atrial fibrillation. I have to tell you, there's an epidemic of atrial fibrillation affecting this country right now. And I wrote about it in my last newsletter, Heart Health and Nutrition. And I interviewed some of my top cardiologists in the country, and they agree with me. In fact, one of the reasons why we're seeing this is that, you know, there's a lot of chemicals in the environment, a lot of toxins, especially phthalates and plastics, that can cause the heart to go out of rhythm. But the one thing that I've been lecturing on all across the country and in Canada is on electromagnetic sensitivities and waves and toxic radio frequency waves from cordless phone, cell phone towers. Because what these toxic non-harmonious waves do is they can disrupt what we call heart rate variability. And when that happens, the heart is more prone to go out of rhythm. So I believe one of the reasons why we're seeing so much atrial fibrillation in our society today is that we've created the perfect storm. We have mercury in the environment, we have chemicals, insecticides, pesticides, phthalates, and now toxic EMF. So we really have to be careful, and cardiologists really have to be looking at these other factors that can cause the heart to go out of rhythm.
Now in layman's terms, like when I say AFib, I know it affectionately and carefully as AFib, meaning my father's heart just does not beat normally, and it makes him at extreme risk for throwing a clot all the time, and he's already a stroke survivor. Could you maybe explain to our listeners what, if I've got AFib right, or if there's a better description of what that means exactly, so people know?
Oh, yeah. Basically, what it means is that the ventricle of the heart is beating in a normal fashion, but the atria, the right and left atrium, are quivering, almost like a bag of worms, so to speak, and the effective pulsations aren't there. So basically, it's erratic pulsations, and the pulsations can go up to about 500 beats a minute. It can speed up the ventricular rate, which is the heartbeat, and some of these rapid heartbeats can go up to 180, 200 beats a minute. Some of these patients can throw off clots and have strokes. Some of them go into heart failure. Many of them develop weakness. Some of them don't even know they have it, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be, the spectrum can be incredible. But usually when one develops atrial fibrillation, they'll have an uncomfortable sensation in the chest. They may have cough. They may have symptoms of fluid in the chest. And fatigability and dizziness are usually the most common symptoms.
Yeah, you know, in my father's case, he had no clue that there was anything even wrong with his heart until he had a stroke, and they said, well, you know, you've been sitting in AFib land for a long time now. In fact, part of your heart is damaged and so forth. So, interesting. I had no idea that you gave talks on that, so I'm glad I mentioned that, because that's been my real experience with heart disease, but backing it up, I think our real experience has come with diabetes. And that, do you speak to that at all?
Yeah, well that, diabetes, you know, okay. Anytime you bring an inflammatory disorder like diabetes to the table, you know, the heart can be affected adversely. That's why the typical diabetic usually lives 10 to 15 years less than a normal counterpart, because sugar, and remember, it's not fat, it's not cholesterol that's the enemy, but when you have dysfunctional sugar metabolism in your body, or if you eat a lot of sweets, and one of the things that I really, you know, tell my subscribers is, you know, stay away from, you know, high fructose corn syrup sodas, just stay away from processed sweets as much as you can, because sugar will age you quickly, and sugar will cause inflammation. And unfortunately, you know, we have an epidemic of diabetes in the country as well. And when you have that scenario, again, you create the perfect storm for not only more advanced heart disease, but eye disease as well, and kidney disease. So diabetes is a terrible illness. My mother had it. I grew up with it in my family. And actually, it's the main reason why I became a physician, because I lived with a diabetic mom for years on insulin, and I knew how bad it is.
Yeah. Katie, I know you're wanting to chime in here. Did you want to go ahead?
Well, there are so many things, so many questions.
Yeah.
Interesting. I want to go back to for a minute to what your first statement about the environment. I received a phone call from the Center for Disease Control survey this morning asking questions about cell phone usage. And I thought that was really interesting. Is there a body of research now being done on heart disease and cell phones?
Oh, there's an enormous amount of research. In fact, the first research came out of the Soviet Union in 1970, believe it or not, which showed that in a group of males age 40 and less, a large percentage of them had cardiac problems. And this was reported 42 years ago. And the cardiac problems included things like atrial fibrillation, heart attack, disturbed symptoms of rapid heart rates and dizziness, and basically pulmonary embolism was also reported, which is a clot in the lung. But that was 42 years ago. And then Magna Havis in Canada showed that simple cordless phones, which had the same frequencies as the type of frequencies that were used in the Soviet Union in these males age 40 and under, very similar frequencies, she showed that these frequencies disturb heart rate variability, which, again, is a measure of really the cadence of the heartbeat. And when the heart rate gets – when the variability gets disturbed, what happens is that these heart rates can get very, very fast, and they can also cause arrhythmia. And what she found in her small study was that several patients had heart rates up to 180, and
wow.
Some patients had completely unknown symptoms. They didn't feel anything, and they had disturbed heart rate variability. So it's a real problem today.
You must feel like we're in almost swimming in a sea of children with all this technology. How do the little bodies handle all of that? You know, when we think of we think of us as just adults and cell phones and whatever, but there are so many kids. I mean, I'm a mother of four boys, and they all have phones and iPads and iPods and, you know, all these things. How does it affect kids?
Well, actually, I'm glad you asked, because it affects children much more than adults. And our country is doing nothing about it. The rest of the world is doing a lot to protect their children, including Canada. I mean, I lectured in Canada, in Toronto, where in a school district of 50,000 children, this was in the Simcoe County Schools in Toronto, but in this school district, they had four sudden deaths in children ages like 9 to 13. Two of them were resuscitated successfully. Two of them did pass over. But what happens with the wireless is that it creates the perfect storm, meaning that if a child has a occult arrhythmia that nobody knows about, and if the child has, let's say, like a bypass track, or has a congenital problem, or is taking, let's say, asthma sprays, or has a fight with the school nurse or their mom, or ate a lot of sugar that morning, and industrial Wi-Fi in these schools could create a perfect storm where you have another factor that can throw the heart out of rhythm, and that's what happened. That's what I believe happened to these four children. So what we have to do as adults is really protect our children. And I don't tell adults to give up technology. I mean, I'm using a cell phone right now because I missed a train this morning and I couldn't get to a corded phone. I will be on a corded phone shortly, though. But anyway, I have to tell you,
okay,
I don't tell people
background
to sacrifice technology. I just tell people to, you know, do not sacrifice health for technology. In other words, you know, use Ethernet more. Don't use Wi-Fi if you can substitute for Ethernet. Talk on a cordless phone. Do not use talk on a corded phone. Do not use cordless phones, because cordless phones are like having a cell phone tower in your own house, and they emit horrible frequencies. So this is something that more Americans need to be privy about, and we must protect our children, because the incidence of autism has skyrocketed, and you know, premature births and fertility problems, a lot of it is related to wireless technology.
And I thought all heart issues were caused because of fat. Fat in the body, fat in the blood, fat. Should we shift gears just a little bit?
Sure,
I know we're talking
sure
a lot about,
I mean, look,
sugar, but
no,
I think
that's the
common
biggest myth of all time. That's incredible. I mean, that's my next book. In fact, it's called The Great Cholesterol Myth. It'll be out in November 1st. But, you know, fat, unfortunately, got a bad rap in the 1950s with some fraudulent scientific studies. And it's the greatest myth of all time, because fat really doesn't give you heart disease. Sugar does, you know. You know, chemicals do, insecticides, pesticides, mercury, wireless. There are so many other things than fat. And, you know, the egg industry took it on the chin. The milk industry took it on the chin. The meat industry has. But there's really nothing wrong with monounsaturated fat, or even saturated fat, for that matter. It's the trans fats that are the killer fats. And a lot of these vegetable oils that we use, the omega-6 essential fatty acid, the canola oils, the corn oils, the soybean oils, these are the ones that are pro-inflammatory. And these fats, are the vegetable oil fats, are the ones that can cause coronary disease. But the saturated fats, they're okay.
Now, we're big Best Ever You for 4 years now has been a huge supporter, and they of us, of Tosca Reno and her whole Eat Clean efforts in Canada and around the U.S. And when she comes on our show, and she's actually on the cover of our magazine right now, she describes sugar as crack, basically. Sugar as basically the root of most disease. The root, you know, she's taught us that sugar causes inflammation, inflammation causes disease, and sugar really causes heart disease, and sugar really kind of causes, there's more and more studies that sugar causes cancer, too, because your blood isn't oxygenated properly. Not fat. Fat, be careful of course, like you were saying, but really, they're more and more, like you're saying, kind of pointing to sugar.
No, she's absolutely right. I mean, sugar is definitely the, I mean, that's the demon. You're dancing with the devil when you eat a lot of sugar. And a lot of people don't realize that it's not just, you know, sodas and sweets, you know, and sherbets. It's basically, it's bread, it's pastries, it's bagels, it's pasta. Unfortunately, even one of my favorite vegetables, a potato. Now, I'm pro-potato, even though a potato has a very high glycemic index, it's one of the best, you know, vegetables for potassium. But you just have to pick, and you know, pick your foods wisely. But processed white flour is something that we should probably all try to avoid as much as we can.
Yeah, and
I'm so glad you said that because my mom was diabetic, and she didn't eat a lot of sweets, but she ate a lot of bread. And I remember she just passed away in August after having several strokes, being diabetic. And I remember as a kid watching her eating habits, and when she was diagnosed diabetic, thinking, well, how did that happen? Because she was always very careful about desserts, but she ate a lot of pasta and bread, and she was overweight. And I think that's a really important point. And as a mom, I know that I have seen other parents say to kids, well, it's okay as long as you don't have dessert, you can have pasta and macaroni and cheese. And there's a lot of hidden sugars people don't know about.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, when I see some of my grandkids eating macaroni and cheese all the time and you know, cheese sandwiches and, you know, grilled cheese and pancakes, it drives me nuts. It drives me crazy, especially if they wash it down with a soda or something. You know, then it's really bad. But, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and we have to realize that a lot of the wheat today is genetically modified. So now we're giving our kids three major problems. We're not only giving them sugar, but we're giving them gluten as well, which is another major problem because there's so many acquired gluten sensitivities in the environment. And now we're giving them genetically modified wheat as well. So now we're giving them, you know, chemicals. So, again, I would tell, you know, my subscribers, people like, you know, when I do subscriber sessions or webinars or anything like that, I try to get them to eat less flour products and less wheat, and, you know, and just doing that can really be so beneficial to the heart.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying there, too. You're saying less. You're not saying, you know, don't eat anything. I heard you say the word less. Do you believe that you just have to, you know, all out, you know, totally kill all food from your diet and you can't ever have a Snickers bar, or can, you know,
I believe in moderation. It's all about balance, really. It's all about balance. Balance is the key. The point I want to make, though, is that if you have a compromised child, like an autistic child or any child with a neurological problem, you have to go gluten-free, no doubt about it. So then I'm more strict. In other words, I would shoot for 100%. But if you're an adult with a little bit of psoriasis or a skin problem, yeah, you should go gluten-free as much as you can. But again, it's about balance, you know. I mean, if you can go gluten-free like 90% of the time, that's great. That's great. Unless if you have a real sensitivity, and some people really do, where – you know, I've seen people even getting a communion, let's say, you know, in the Catholic Church, getting a host at communion that has it's a wafer, has carbohydrate in it. I've seen even asthmatic reactions following that, and the people didn't realize they were totally, you know, gluten sensitive. So, I mean, I've seen it in so many different stages, but you're right. For the most part, it's all about balance. You know, if you want to have some ice cream once in a while or a Snickers bar, fine, enjoy it. But, you know, you don't want to put this in your diet, you know, every week or once a day like a lot of kids do. And that's the part where a parent has to step in and be, instead of a nice person, you know, just be the guide and be the messenger for your child, because you just do not want your child to grow up on sugar.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I didn't get before we went on air was your website and your book information. For some reason, I am lacking that information, and I was wondering what your website is so we could direct people to that who are listening.
Well, I have a purely informational website with a lot of streaming video. I do a lot of video on top healing foods and, you know, what to eat and on metabolic cardiology and wireless and detoxification, and that's heartmdinstitute.com.
Okay.
And
Heart
my other website, institute.com. That's sort of an educational institute. You know, you can't buy anything on it. It's just a great resource for information. And then my commercial website that offers vitamins and minerals and stuff like that is drsinatra.com.
Okay.
And another website I use is grounded.com. If people are ever interested in grounding sheets or grounding materials, you know, to help them sleep better or, you know, get favorable physiological experiences in the body by sleeping grounded.
Huh, I like that. Okay, so three websites there. And then how many books have you written?
I've written about 15, and I have one coming out in November, The Great Cholesterol Myth. And I really have an exciting book coming out. I don't know. It'll probably be 2013. And that's a book on spirituality. It's called Connection. And it's about life on the other side. That's a really cool book. I've been taking my time with that one. And it's about near-death experience and about, you know, about some of the people I resuscitated as a cardiologist. And that's a real cool book. That's really different than any other book I've done. And I'm just about finished with that now.
Yeah, I've actually been resuscitated before. It's interesting that you say that. I've been resuscitated actually twice, actually, from food allergies. I have anaphylaxis to all nuts, peanuts, and shellfish and fish. And it's part of the reason why Best Ever You exists is because in 1998 I was full-blown resuscitated from an allergic reaction to almonds.
Now, did you have any experience from your resuscitation? I mean, did you experience anything unusual?
Oh yeah. I don't talk about it on air, but yeah,
I mean, I would like to interview you for my book if you want to talk about it. I mean,
yeah.
I have a lot of, because, you know, I think people who have had near-death experiences are the true messengers of 2012 and 2013. And what I've found in you know, my analysis of the subject is, you know, there is another side, and it's a great place to go, and, you know, 99% of us go there, and the people that I've resuscitated who have had NDEs, you know, a near-death experience,
yep.
None of them fear death, none of them, and
nope.
I've really enjoyed writing this book. It's just been a joy for me.
Oh, I can't wait to read that. That'll be very interesting. Absolutely. I'm trying to think of what I'm trying to say here. That is what I'm trying to say is that's a pretty profound thing and thoughtful thing for a doctor to stop and do. That's what's trying to come out of my mouth here, because, you know, you could just be on your merry way, you know, here, have some aspirin and, you know, good luck to you, and you're actually stopping to talk to the people who you've really mattered to. I mean, they're alive because of you.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, because when I first started to talk to my patients that I resuscitated, a lot of them didn't want to talk about it because they thought they were crazy. And they thought that what they experienced was so easy that nobody would believe them, and they would cart them away and put them in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you know my history, my training, I spent 10 years in psychotherapy training, and I'm a sort of a Reichian bioenergetic psychotherapist, and I did, you know, my internship was psychiatry and medicine, so I've done a lot of work on mind-body, and what I've done with a lot of people is really sat down and talked to them about, you know, their feelings and what they experienced, and again, that's the basis for the book, you know.
That's so interesting.
Oh, I can't wait to read this book.
Cardiac nurse has done so much research on this as well, so it's not just a book.
Yeah.
And plus, I have another co-author, Tommy, who was run over by a truck and spent 15 days on the other side. So it's sort of a very interesting book, I have to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Katie, you should tell him about what you do. Yeah.
Well, yes, Dr. Sinatra, I've been working with palliative care and end-of-life care with children for years, and some extraordinary experiences with kids at end-of-life when they come back, And some of the things they've done and said ritualistically to show that they're about to go, but they want to say goodbye. One of my most favorite was when a little I've often seen this, where kids will point to a corner of a room and they'll say something like, angel. And
yes.
they'll just keep looking, and they'll point, and they'll say, angel.
Yes.
And they don't, and their parent has never taught them what an angel is. And Robert Coles did that wonderful work on spirituality with children all over the world, and they all have this same language that they use to describe the afterlife and death. And so I am very excited to read your book. And Porter mm-hmm. Story, who was a physician I worked with, wrote a book and did some research about end of life and hospice and near death experience. So yes, it's a profound thing to witness. It really is.
Yeah. And now there's also the shared death experience where Ray Moody has written about it, and Ray Moody is really one of the first experts because he talked about this in the mid 1980s, and now what he's determined is that if there are people at the bedside, that they can, the survivors, some of them experience the same thing that the person crossing over experiences. So there's a lot of stuff happening right now, and I think it's a result of the energies of 2012 and the portals opening up and everything else. And I just feel that, you know, human beings are going to go to a higher vibration in the next year, and you know, consciousness is being raised on the planet, and it's really important for us to be ready to enter this phase of it's almost like we're going from the informational age of the computers to the age of I call it enlightenment for a better term, but it's more of an advanced age of vibration and a raise in consciousness on the planet. So, and the near DEs, the ones who have been on the other side, come back and they're telling their stories. And a lot of these people come back with psychic power as well. In other words, they're very intuitive. And that's the most important thing. When I lecture on this about toxic waves and about, you know, there's good vibrations, there's bad vibrations. But one of the most important things is to really rely on your intuition, because your intuition is something that you will get answers from ascended masters, and whatever's in your intuition will be the truth.
That's probably the strongest thing that has happened to me, is just a very heightened level of intuition is probably the best way to explain it. And then my father's also been resuscitated, and he's more chatty about it than I am. I think still after, you know, however many years it's been now, it's hard. I talk to Katie about it every once in a while, but it's hard to get out of me what's happened to me. But my dad is quite vocal about it, and he was in a barbiturate induced coma on a bed of ice, and I went home actually somewhere in there. I'm going to get the timing all off, but I went home, and I had to come back home because I was traveling back and forth between here and Minnesota, and I was actually packing my bag to go back home and really packing for a funeral, because it just seemed like that's what was really truly going to happen. It was just really devastating and so forth. And while I was here at home, I get this phone call, and it's my dad on the phone, and he goes, "Hi, honey, you know, I'm fine, you know," kind of thing. And my mom is just like, you know, the freakiest thing just happened. You know, Dad came out of the coma and here he is. And he woke up going, "Why were you all standing around me, hovering around me in your parkas? What's the deal?" You know, kind of thing. And he describes everything from a view looking down, and everything that happened to him as he was, you know, he was dead basically, and they brought him back and so forth. And it's quite interesting to hear his story. He might have play a role in your book as well. I don't know, but he's very interesting to talk to about what's happened to him.
Well, it's very typical. I mean, I've had patients I resuscitated personally who saw me resuscitating them. In other words, they were on the ceiling of the room looking down at me. And some of them were actually rooting for me, and some of them were. So one person told me he was so sorry he came back because he was enjoying himself, you know, on his journey. And he was almost in tears in my office. So I've had so many experiences that it's been unbelievable. Listen, Catherine, is there a way I can call you back on the landline now? Is that possible? Or will we break the
if I call
714-868-0220, would that be okay?
Yeah, just hang up and we'll talk while you're coming back on the phone.
Yeah, just hang up because I'm right next to, I'd rather use a landline because I don't want the EMF. I mean, I'm using a speakerphone now and my phone's very clear, but yeah, let me call you back, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, great. I'm going to hang up and I'll call back the number.
Okay, super.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Okay. All right, Katie. Boy,
well, I'm kind of freaking out because I'm on a portable phone.
Yeah, I'm on a headset. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but you know, we actually have callers. But isn't he interesting? You know, I was thinking we were going to have a chat about, you know, what not to eat and, you know, how to keep the fat out of your heart and so forth. And we've talked about, you know, kind of everything. He's fascinating.
He's profound, and I love that he's talking about energy and he's talking about the vibration, all the things we talk about.
Yeah,
and the fact that we are entering an age of people knowing more and having a different evolutionary understanding. So,
hi, I'm back.
Great.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Ooh, now you sound perfect on the phone. You know, Katie and I were just talking.
Oh, can you hear me? Katie, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, good. Okay, so we're back on. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, Katie and I have a book coming out called Percolate. Allow your best let your best self filter through. And as we were writing the book, it's really just about to come out probably in the next 6 weeks or so. As we were writing the book, in fact, I have notes in front of me, Katie, that says, send out the highest vibration, rise to the highest vibration, evolutionary consciousness, love and compassion, and so forth. Make it perk. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, one of the slides in my lecture is, you know, how to increase your vibration, you know. And, you know, people ask me that, you know, because one of the ways certainly is grounding and taking in the energy of Mother Earth. And, you know, other ways is, you know, avoidance of drugs and alcohol. That'll really bring down your vibration. Eating sugar will bring down your vibration. We talked about that previously. Over vaccinations in children will definitely bring down their vibration. And then emotional toxicity is probably one of the worst. You know, living in the energy of unforgiving energy or resentment energy is a very terrible burden to put on your body. Living in the energy of entitlement, if you feel entitled, that will definitely bring down your vibration. And the last thing is really living in a false self. If your life is a lie, and you're living in a false self and not your true self, it's a betrayal of the self, and that will definitely bring down your vibration. So what we really need to do is we need to really pick up our vibration, because when the forces of the planet, well, the consciousness of the planet increases, people have to be ready for this, and they have to be really ready I'll tell you, this is going to sound crazy, but Einstein talked about it in the 1930s. About, you know, relativity, but, you know, our mind is going to be so powerful, and Bruce Lipton has talked about it in his books about positive intention, and this is what, you know, Buddha talked about centuries ago, and Christ and Moses, and you know, whatever we think, our thoughts are going to be so powerful, our vibration is going to be so powerful, that energy is going to be manifest by our thoughts. So people need to get ready that, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, if you're working at a higher vibrational level, whatever you think, you know, could become true. So that's sort of really interesting stuff.
You are so much more than a cardiologist. I'm so thankful for this phone call because I was really nervous going into this interview. I was like, you know, I don't know how to interview a heart doctor exactly, and I want to talk about all the things that aren't medical. So I'm glad you're like that. And I'm wondering, do you still practice? And if a patient does come into your office, are these things that you readily say to them and encourage and so forth? Because it seems like so many doctors just say, yep, here's your heart medication and, you know, good luck kind of thing. And there isn't that complete, whole, holistic approach that you are communicating.
Well, I mean, actually, I didn't retire from medicine. I mean, I still practice medicine. I don't see patients in the office, but my son got very ill about 7 years ago, 6 years ago, terribly ill, and I thought I was going to lose him, so I sort of retired from practice like 5 years ago and trying to save him. And we did have a happy ending, but I brought him to over 100 doctors, very famous clinics in the United States. He saw doctors in my world, in a conventional world, and it really boiled down to me. I really had to take the bull by the horns and direct this whole healing process. But a long story short, he worked on Wall Street and became electropolluted from computers and cellular phones and cordless phones, and he lost over 100 pounds and had immune system dysfunction and neurological dysfunction, and his endocrine system wasn't working, and he was dying right in front of my eyes. And I realized that he was the messenger for me to get out the words on, to really get out the message about electrosensitivity and radio frequency where toxicities and electromagnetic waves and stuff like that. So sometimes your old family member really opens the doors to put you on a different path. So it was really my son who put me on the path. And now I do a lot of more lecturing and teaching about, what's happening in the environment.
Katie, did you want
to? There's a whole industry beginning now, and we actually are consumers of this industry, and I'm curious what you think of it. We actually had someone come into our home and place these, I don't know what the technology is, but they're like a magnet that are supposed to diffuse these waves. And she put them in different places. They're on all of our cell phones. They're on our TV set. They're everywhere where there might be these waves. Have you heard about that? Is that something that's viable, or is there research behind it, or did we just get taken?
Well, I mean, some of these things do work. I mean, when I test people's cellular phones, some of them have these little gadgets on it, and some work and some don't. I mean, some people sleep in Faraday cages. They'll put a shield around their bed, that does work. I mean, sometimes these gadgets can direct the impulse even stronger to it. It'll be like an attraction. But there's a whole new industry opening up. There's protective clothing. There's protective, curtains you can get. There's certainly protective paint. It's a carbon paint that keeps out, frequencies. So, I mean, there's a whole new industry. And the reason being is these cell phone towers are proliferating at such an enormous rate it's poisoning everybody. And do you know how, like, people took vitamins and minerals, like vitamin C and vitamin E were famous, like, 50 years ago, after the antibiotic era, and now antioxidants are, they're in vogue, and we've been using them for the last 30 or 40 years? Well, what's going to happen in the next 10 years because of this DNA disruption that we're seeing from toxic frequencies is, we're going to need herbs and homeopathic remedies and vitamins that repair DNA. And so DNA repair and cellular regeneration are going to be the new buzzwords in the next decade, because we need help against these technologies. And remember, you can't live without technology, but you have to make it safer for you. And that's some of the things I bring to the table when I write my books or when I lecture, and I try to introduce people to, be their own doctor and take responsibility for yourself. And for God's sakes, please protect your children. I mean, when I ever see a pregnant woman on a cellular phone, I walk up to them and I let them know that signal that they're putting into their ear or they're holding in their hand is directly going into their womb, because we're electrical beings. And people think we're flesh and bones. I mean, we are flesh and bones, but we're highly electrical. And when you hold a cell phone or a cordless phone, those impulses are going right into your uterus. So it's really important for women to be aware of this. And there's going to be a whole new specialty occurring in the future, and that's going to be detoxification of both men and women who are anticipating having a child, because you must detoxify your body. Because the autistic rate right now in males is 1 in 67. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, it used to be 1 in 10,000, 20 years ago. And so now it's really getting out of hand. We have to do something about protecting us from technology.
Do you tell me how that fits in with heart one more time, because we have a ton of people who just joined us about 5-10 minutes ago, and I just want to reiterate some of the things that we were talking about at the beginning of the show, so it makes sense, because I know people are tuned in to hear about heart and so forth, and we're talking about cell phones, and people might be scratching their head going, what are you guys talking about?
Well, what people have realized, and again, you know, I didn't become a cardiologist for a reason. I mean, I probably had a very strong unconscious drive. But, you know, the heart is the organ of love. There's no doubt about it. When you're in love, every cell in your body pulsates, and that's why people get far less sick, you know, when they're in love. But the heart, being an electrical organ, is the most vulnerable. It's the most vulnerable organ in the body to toxic electrical forces. And that's why electricians get much higher heart attacks and arrhythmias and strokes as opposed to non-electricians. They work around these frequencies electricity-wise. That's why in your bedroom, you should have your bedroom clean. You should have any electricity in your bedroom, no stereos, no computers, no cordless phones. You don't want anything in there because, you know, they disrupt melatonin and you know, a lot of people can't sleep because of cordless phone alone, and they don't realize that. But when it comes to the heart, these frequencies can disrupt the heart rate variability, and when that happens, it puts the heart more at a vulnerability of developing an arrhythmia. And as we talked about in the beginning of the show, atrial fibrillation, or the heart going wild in a panic, where the heart's beating very very stressfully and rapidly, we're seeing atrial fibrillation as a result of Wi-Fi and wireless technology. So, you know, that's how you connect the dots. I mean, you know, these frequencies are very toxic to the heart because the heart is the most electrical organ. And you know, and it makes sense because it's much more vulnerable than the brain. Do cell phones cause brain cancer? Absolutely. You know, it may take 10 or 20 or 30 years, but, you know, if you start with a cell phone when you're 10 years old and you get brain cancer at 35, that's no picnic either. But people with, you know, frequencies, the disturbed frequencies from technology can develop cardiac problems within minutes. And, you know, it doesn't take years like it does with the brain. So there's a lot going on that, unfortunately, a lot of people in our country are totally in the dark about.
Yeah.
Totally in the dark.
We've got a lot of people in our chat room and tweeting me also live as we're talking. And somebody knows this about me too. I'm really big into talking about how teeth and healthcare also affect the heart, and a lot of people don't know that there's a connection between your teeth being clean and good gum care and things like that. Do you ever talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, recently there was some. It's a poorly understood subject, and recently there was some. A study that refuted it, but I didn't believe the study. I wrote about it in my newsletter. Good dental hygiene is extraordinarily important for the heart. I mean, you know, when your teeth have a lot of bacteria in it, that could be spirochetes, it could be, you know, gram-negative rods, gram-positive bacteria, whatever it is, viruses, this can cause inflammation in the mouth. You could develop periodontal disease, which is even far advanced inflammation. But whenever you have an inflammatory situation in your mouth, this can cause inflammatory, what we call cytokines in the body. They're like hormonal messengers. And basically, we know now that heart disease is a result of inflammation, not cholesterol. Cholesterol is a big myth. It's a big joke. Heart disease has to do with inflammation. And if you do have, let's say, an infected tooth or a root canal gone bad, or if you have gum disease and you're putting out inflammatory mediators in response to the inflammation in your mouth, these inflammatory mediators are deleterious to the heart. So basically, those are the dots you have to connect. So any inflammation in the mouth, I call the mouth the window of the heart, as opposed to the eyes being the window of the soul. So if you do have inflammation in the mouth, it's a setup for cardiac disease in the future.
And you mentioned inflammation again. I want to, if we could, go there again, because some people listening might not really know what you mean by inflammation. And I was wondering if you could talk about what inflammation. There's entire books written about how to, you know, not have an inflammatory system, and I don't know if people really quite know what that means.
Well, I mean, you know, our bodies are very toxic. If you eat a lot of inflammatory foods, for example, your body becomes inflammatory. Classic example is sugar. We talked about that before. Sugar is a very highly inflammatory food, and insulin is the most inflammatory hormone, because when you have surges of insulin going up and down in the body in response to sugars, insulin is what we call a very endothelial, unfriendly compound, where it disrupts the, what we call the inner membrane of blood vessels, and it makes the blood vessels angry in the presence of excess insulin. So insulin being at the top of the list, trans fats, so we talked about it, you know, canola oils or frying in oils or using corn oil or partially hydrogenated oils. If you read that on the label, you want to stay away from those because they're highly inflammatory. Certainly, cigarette smoke's inflammatory. Radiation, we talked about toxic frequencies from cordless phone, cellular phone. They disrupt DNA and they cause inflammation. Insecticides, pesticides, mercury in the environment, pharmaceutical drugs are inflammatory. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, the chlorine in the water, for example, it causes inflammation. So our bodies are a sea of inflammation, and the trick is to keep the inflammation at bay. That's why I said before, reduce gluten in a child, for example, who has neurological problems, because gluten will trigger more inflammation on the neurological side, especially if the child has neurological problems.
And so if you don't treat that inflammation, untreated inflammation results in diabetes, heart attack maybe, cancer,
arthritis, Alzheimer's disease, you name it. It's we suddenly don't become sick. I mean, people think that they go to a doctor's office. I mean, you know, sickness is all about your body being out of balance. And your body's out of balance because of physical factors, emotional factors, and spiritual factors. I mean, I've never seen a person with cancer in my entire life who didn't have some sort of emotional block. And the same thing is true for heart disease. I mean, emotions and heart disease can cause, I wrote the book Heartbreak and Heart Disease. I mean, heartbreak is a devastating emotion that can create heart disease. So, I mean, when anybody's sick, it's not just the physical body that's out of tune. It's your emotional and spiritual body, and it's everything's unbalanced. So you go to a doctor with a sickness or an illness, and it takes a very good healer to look at the forest between the trees, and a very good healer will discern and look at a person and look at the energy in their eyes or, you know, look at the movement of their breathing and just take some vital signs and get a sense of who that person is. Because remember, when a person is sick, they're in a struggle and they're suffering. And what a doctor really needs to do or a healer needs to do is to recognize that struggle and see that person suffering. And once they see that, then positive intention and healing works, and a doctor can get the patient on the right track. And trust me, pharmaceutical drugs won't do it.
Yeah. Do you mean it's something as simple as the bills are stacked to the top of the desk and we've just lost a job and I might get sick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, emotional stress absolutely affects the immune system as well as the autonomic nervous system. So, absolutely. I mean, the immune system is under enormous onslaught, even from our own blood chemicals. I mean, cortisol and adrenaline are two of our own hormones that, you know, we human beings overdose on all the time. And remember, the hormone of vigilance, the hormone of worry, the hormone of waiting for the other shoe to drop, which a lot of us unfortunately have in this day and age of economics and terrorism, et cetera, and the toxic environment and politics and whatever it is, that drives up cortisol. And when that happens, you can't sleep, and it causes immune system dysfunction, and you get sick. If you develop a cold or something, I mean, that's the start of, you know, the body being out of balance.
Now, as a doctor, can you look at a woman and make a correlation between, like, if you see somebody who's got a lot of belly fat, do you immediately think cortisol?
Well,
is there any truth to that?
Cortisol is a factor, but yeah. I mean, when I see a lot of belly fat in a woman, I worry about insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. So if a woman's belly is like 36 inches or more, or if a man's belly is 40 inches or more, and they have padding in that area of the body, I worry about metabolic syndrome. And it's very simple to diagnose. I mean, abdominal girth is one, and if your triglycerides are high and your blood sugar is on the high side, or if your hemoglobin A1C is high and your HDL cholesterol is low and you have a little bit of high blood pressure, that's metabolic syndrome. Now, what do you do for that? You don't start taking diabetic medication. You have to exercise more and eat a less inflammatory diet and restrict sugar, and you'll get better. I mean, it's that simple.
That's kind of what happened to me in January. I went to the doctor, and they were like, you know, I'm not quite a 36. I went up from a 30 to a 32, but for me, that's bigger for me. You know, I went up to a size 12 instead of a 10, and so I gained some weight. And some of the numbers were a little goofy, and I decided to just completely go sugar-free for about, since January, whatever it is now, the middle of January, just pretty much sugar-free. And, I mean, no white bread, no pasta, no, just really following a clean, healthy diet. And it is absolutely amazing the change in all, not only all the numbers, but just my life, my energy, my eyes, my skin, my hair, my heart. I was having like little heart palpitation things going on and just funny things, and it's all gone. And I added a little bit of exercise in there too, like an hour of exercise every day, and I feel like a new human being.
Absolutely. I mean, see, what you just said is really, you know, getting well is so easy. It's
hard.
I mean,
it's kind of hard.
Here it is. You took the high road out. Another person would come to a doctor and say, give me a pill to take care of my blood pressure, my blood sugar, and my high triglycerides, you know. Pills don't do it. Drugs don't do it. I mean, people need to look at lifestyle characteristics, and that's what you did. It's taking the high road. And when you take the high road out, your vibration goes up. And when your vibration goes up, you get better. And that's why you're joyful. You're joyful, right? You're enjoying
life. Oh, yeah. I mean, I am just – yeah, I just – feel completely different. But it's when Toscarino said, she said something on, we did this motivation marathon thing, which, by the way, you'd be perfect for on our next one. But anyway, she said, sugar's like crack. She just said that one simple sentence, and it just has stuck with me. And how I was using sugar as well, like with my dad's stress or any kind of stress here. I mean, my entire hand was going into a bag of chocolate chips and eating them, like a handful of chocolate chips at a time. Or cheese or toast or whatever, but all
comfort food. Yeah, comfort
food. Totally. Yeah, I have a big bowl of chocolate ice cream with some whipped cream on top kind of day, you know. And really interesting how it's very scary to make a change like that, though. I've never had a more interesting morning than the first morning I drank a green smoothie.
Right. You know, go to my website, heartmdinstitute.com.
Yeah.
One of my videos on there, it's my best video, I think. I do a smoothie, and I have that every day. And my son is a naturopath. Yeah. I use a Cuisinart blender. It's all glass. It's basically, I'll put fruits and vegetables together, and I blend them up, but I want the fiber. In other words, it's not juicing. It's beyond juicing. But you drink, and the secret is you add coconut water to it. And coconut water has a lot of potassium in it, and it makes it into a drink as opposed to a shake. And boy, if you drink that every day with those live enzymes, and I use kale and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and apples, everything's organic, by the way, berries and you name it. That smoothie that I take in every day is just incredible, because those live enzymes that you're getting from fruits and vegetables will really heal you. And my son, who's a naturopath, says, Dad, he goes, if anybody took a glass of this every day, then they would never get sick. And I agree with him.
I kind of do, too. I drink sometimes even two of them per day. And I have some interesting food allergies that I have to be careful of. But mine's just basically spinach, pear. What do I put in there? Spinach, pear, cucumber, ice, and water. And I just blend it and drink that. And I don't know. It's completely changed my world. But do you mind if we – so that's heartmdinstitute.com. Do you mind –
Yeah, that's where a lot of my streaming video is on, you know.
Yeah.
I have lots of
do you mind if we
there.
Point people to that specifically?
Oh, no, sure.
Point to your video?
That. Yeah,
okay.
because that's a really informational website, you know. That has a lot of good information on there.
Okay. So if somebody made a change like that, if they made one small change to have a smoothie every morning, how do you think ignore me for a little bit here in my story. How do you think it would change their life?
Well, if they, you know, life is really about, you know, becoming small steps lead into bigger steps. So if somebody decides, you know, I'm going to just change my diet a little bit, I'm going to make this smoothie every morning. And you can make it once every 3 or 4 days because, you know, I mean, I just pour it in glass jars and put it in the refrigerator. And if they just did that every morning and made like a I strive for a dozen fruits and vegetables because I think the more bright-colored fruits and vegetables you mix, the greater auric value and antioxidant value you get. But if you do that as a discipline, I call it a discipline, just that one little step, that will redirect your whole health. Because once you do that, you're going to say to yourself, you know, I'm going to start going gluten-free. You know, I'm going to start taking vitamins and minerals. I'm going to start walking the dog more. It's good for the dog. It's good for me. I'm going to start a yoga class and maybe a Pilates class. And then all of a sudden, you say to yourself, oh, my God, where have I been all my life? I don't have back pain. I don't have headaches.
Yep.
You
my
know,
knee pain's gone. My back
I have
pain
greater
back
joy.
Pain.
You know, cool. I want to play with my grandchildren. You know, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Getting healthy,
Katie,
is no big secret.
It's
easy.
Not a big secret. It's just like what you said. It's like, for me, it's like it's three words for me. It's focus, discipline, and then a big whopping dose of consistency.
Yeah, that's perfect. And that's what we all need to do. You know, I mean, you're the messenger. You know,
trying
just
to be.
Talk, yeah, it's a, you be the messenger. That's great. I mean, that's simple. See, the other book I'm writing, I have a co-author on it. It's called God's Simple Cures. You know, everything from, like, you know, bee propolis to Bach flower remedies to healthy foods, organic, you know, energized water, you know, with waters with energy in it. I mean, there's so many ways of curing the human body by giving it, you know, it's like fertilizing your lawn, you know. And as a cardiologist, you know, I mean, I wrote the book Metabolic Cardiology because what I learned, and I took care of lots of patients that needed heart transplants that never got them because, you know, we reversed their heart disease. But, you know, that's what metabolic cardiology is all about. It's like fertilizing the heart. I mean, you know, with substances and nutrients that build energy and ATP into the body. And when you do that, you know, the person thrives. So, you know, what I've learned in medicine in 40 years is that it's simple things. It's very simple things that get people well.
Katie, you are sure quiet.
Well, yeah, because one of the things that I think we're all going to agree on is we aren't sending a message that tells people that if they aren't cured, it's because it's their fault. I think it's really important when we share these kinds of messages that we're clear that a small step toward healing is really valuable and really important. But I've spent many hours with people beating themselves up because they're not getting better. And even if they're trying some of these things and their cancer is progressing, and I guess what I want to say to them is, you know, don't beat yourself up because that makes it even worse. So I think what you said earlier about highest vibration, wake up every morning being grateful for every moment you have, do the best you can, make the best choices you can, is really what we're all saying. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm
glad you mentioned that, Katie. It's important. People should not beat themselves up. I mean, I can't tell you how many conversations I had with patients when they realized, when my patients came to the conclusion that an illness was placed in their path because they needed to grow and they needed to go to a higher vibration. In other words, the illness is an opportunity for the person to get out of whatever direction their body was going, whatever their emotional being was, whatever their spiritual being was. The illness was an opportunity to get on the right track in life. So, you know, people, and I've taken care of a lot of people with cancer and heart disease, and I mean really devastating heart disease, and that's a big step for a person when they realize that this was placed in my path for a reason. So, you know, I mean, I've had women tell me with breast cancer, and I had a woman who was married to an oncologist, her husband, and she wouldn't take chemotherapy. And she said to me, she says, you know, maybe right now this breast cancer is the best opportunity in my life. And, you know, when you speak like that, unfortunately, a lot of us become victims of our illness, and that's tough, and that's hard, and that's really hard. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because sometimes if we can almost shake a person and if they get it on their own free will that, you know, there is an opportunity here, and you know, that's the joy of healing. I mean, that's it.
Yeah. For those listening live, the show's going to cut off in about 30 seconds, but I can tell we're going to run probably a minute or two beyond that. So you can listen to the end of the show on download. It's a free replay because I think we're going to go beyond 30 seconds here because I don't think we can possibly wrap up this conversation in 20 seconds now. But I do want to not take up too much more of your time, but start to really just thank you for being with us because you are – boy, there's a whole lot of words to describe how wonderful you are, and the work that you're doing and putting out into the universe is so valuable. I was wondering if maybe you could tell us the two books that you have coming out, you know, maybe some recent books so people can follow you at the end here. Just talk about your books.
Well, my last book was Grounding, or Earthing, the Greatest Health Discovery Ever. That's done really well. And I have The Great Cholesterol Myth coming out November 1st, and I just hope people look at that book because cholesterol is a big myth in this country. It really is. We talked about that with the sugar. And my spiritual book, I believe it's going to be called Connection, or We're All Connected. That one will probably come out in late 2013, early 14.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Stephen
Sinatra, thanks
Sinatra,
for being so
everyone.
Patient about the train. I'm sorry I missed my ride. I took away the train.
Delighted to have you with us today. I do want to mention your websites one more time, heartmdinstitute.com, drsinatra.com, and then the other one, was it Grounded?
Grounded.com.
Grounded.
Grounded, G-R-O-U-N-D-E-D, yeah.
Okay. And Stephen Sinatra is spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S-I-N-A-T-R-A. So Stephen, Dr. Stephen Sinatra, drsinatra.com. So, all right, thank you so much. And
well, thank
Katie,
you, Elizabeth.
It
was fun.
Yeah.
Thank
great
you
information.
So much.
Tons of people listening. And Katie, stay with me. Thank you very
okay.
much.
All right.
Katie, thank
Goodbye,
you.
Bye, ladies. We'll see you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank Bye-bye. You.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Tomorrow we have Dr. Aaron. I think it's pronounced Tabor. I may have destroyed that, but I'm not positive. We'll know more tomorrow, right, Katie? He's an anti-aging doctor, and Dr. Stephen and Dr. Tabor kind of do lots of things together. I'm not real sure. We'll ask more about that tomorrow. But wasn't that a neat conversation? I thought we were going to talk about heart and fat and diet, and it was totally different than what I thought.
It was really rich, really rich. I have a list of things now that I'm going to change when I get off this phone. And also, I'm going to post on Best Ever You a list of the highest vibration emotions. There's a hierarchical list that tells you what the lowest vibrations are and the highest, and I'll post that.
Oh, neat. Yeah, we'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
So that's on bestyounetwork.com, which anyone can join. By the way, bestyounetwork.com, we're looking for 1 million of the best million people that we know. So we're looking forward to more people joining that network. And visit us tomorrow and Thursday. We have shows each day at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We have Dr. Aaron Tabor. Hopefully I said that right. And then Carrie Murphy on Thursday. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Dr. Katie. Lots of love.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you again to Dr. Stephen Sinatra for being with us.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.